is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hi, this is Mihai Raducanu from Gannon Baker Basketball, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today. Hello, and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Lensing here with my co-host, Jason Sunkel. And it is currently 1:15 a.m. on Tuesday night / Wednesday morning. Jumping on to talk a little bit of NBA return, Jay.
We're going to talk about the biggest news of the day, Mike.
Which is?
Andre Drummond coming back for another year, the Cavs.
I don't think any of us were surprised by Andre's decision, considering it was a $28 million decision for him to return to the Cavs. So no shocker there that he will be back in a Cavs uniform next season. So we'll see who the Cavs add in the draft and what happens as we move forward with the NBA's return. And then eventually the Cavs and the other eight teams that don't make it to Orlando to their return next November, December, January, whenever this thing is going to get back up and running for season two under the pandemic.
Yep. So we'll see what happens. But I'm excited for the return of the Andre the Giant. He's gonna do something for the Cavs next year.
Hey,
playoffs, baby.
We're going with the big lineup.
Yep. All right. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you saw the rumor, but the Cavs are interested in bringing Tristan Thompson back. So that's a fun fact for you. I don't know if you saw that, but
I didn't see it, but it doesn't surprise me all that much. I mean,
there's not going to be a market for him especially with the contracts that are going to be handed out this year. There's not going to be anything big going on. So, I mean, even if he signs a 1 or 2 year deal for not a ton of money, I wouldn't be terribly opposed to it if they can fit it into a decent amount. Now, I don't know how the lineups would look, but I mean, whatever. It is what
there's nothing wrong with having Tristan on your roster.
Yeah. You know, he's good. Hurt. Maybe you put him as a sixth man. He's the first guy off the bench. He replaces Andre when he gets his two fouls in the first 3 minutes of the game. So
Tristan doesn't kill you. I mean, if he's playing hard, he doesn't hurt you, and especially if he's not signing a big contract. The question with him always has been, since he signed that contract, is he worth the contract? And I don't think that's going to be an issue this time. So we'll see. If he comes back to Cleveland, great. If he doesn't, I don't think any of us are going to miss him too much. But we're not going to contend no matter what we do. So I don't think it really matters.
I agree. All right. So let's get to the news of the day. So Woj has been tweeting a lot today, Mike. There's been lots of information between Woj and Shams. So hopefully we can condense it for everyone and kind of give our reactions here. Obviously, the big, I think, you know, we'll talk about players and situations, but I think the big news to come out of today was the tweet that I sent you, and I actually retweeted it, and I don't retweet a lot of Woj tweets, but the NBA and NBAPA had agreed to put into a place an enhanced insurance plan for players in Orlando that would cover career-ending injuries related to COVID-19 or conventional basketball injuries. Sources tell ESPN, potential group policy would cover players for several millions of dollars. And I know last week I brought up to you that there were a lot of discussions about coverage for these injuries things, and we talked a little bit about it, but I thought this is really good news, because this means that Silver's taking it seriously and they're not just screwing around like some other leagues we won't talk about. But I think this is a good step for them, and at least it seemingly gives them some insurance. Now, what it doesn't do is it doesn't provide anyone that's due a big contract coming up. So I didn't see anything on that, at least. I don't know if you.
Well, that's why you saw Davis Bertans drop out and decide he wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
Why would he come back for 8 Wizards games? He's already had, I think I read, he's torn his ACL twice. And if that's the case, and this was really his first big kind of breakout year, And we all know that shooting is at a premium in the league. I don't know why he would come back and take that risk of playing in meaningless Wizards games in order to potentially injure himself and miss out on his big payday. So he opted to stay home, which isn't surprising. And it'll be interesting to see if anybody else who's in that same situation that's maybe due for their first big payday, what those guys decide to do, especially guys who are not on one of the title contending teams. And again, I don't have that list in front of me. I don't know who that actually would be, but I guess we're going to find out tomorrow, right? Because tomorrow's the deadline for guys.
Well, whether or so not Woj tweeted out today that technically tomorrow is a deadline. However, they're treating it more as a soft deadline, and that July 1st is when the rosters have to be submitted to the NBA about who's playing. So it's more like they're July 1. They're not really enforcing the tomorrow one. It's, you know, it's kind of like that, you know, you go to go 25 miles and then a speed limit, but if you go 28, I'm not going to give you a ticket kind of situation, Mike, in my opinion. They're giving them another week, essentially, to make the decision, it sounds like. At least that's what Woj put out there today.
Yeah, I don't think that matters.
Yeah, so I guess we'll talk about who's out. You already mentioned Bertans. Trevor Ariza is bowing out, which his situation's a little bit of an interesting one, Mike. I don't know if you read. Did you read the article about him?
I did.
Okay, so like he's not playing because his child's mother has designated the 1 month window for him to be a parent, like during the off season, and obviously that would fall now. I just don't understand why they didn't like shift it and do it while he was on break, if that's the real reason. But maybe I know it's court ordered, and I don't know all the logistics on that, but. I think that's
sounds
an interesting.
Sounds like it could be an acrimonious relationship between Trevor Ariza and his ex-wife that they couldn't work something out. Yeah. But as you said, we don't know all the particulars. But clearly, if you are a parent out there and you're listening, you can completely understand where if that's the only month that you are given with your child as a result of a divorce or a previous relationship, you're certainly going to jump at the chance to be able to spend time with your kid as opposed to going down into the bubble and trying to play NBA basketball. So completely sure. Side with Trevor Ariza and his decision on that one.
Yeah. And then did you see the Avery Bradley news?
Yeah. So Avery Bradley, I believe it's his six-year-old son,
has
correct?
Respiratory. Yep.
Yeah. That is, you know, he's had some respiratory issues in the past that said, at least in what I read, that his son maybe had difficulty recovering from respiratory illnesses. And so he didn't want to go into the bubble, and in all likelihood, the Lakers are going to make a long run in the playoffs, so Bradley would be in there for a long time. And it didn't seem likely that his son would pass the necessary tests in order to be able to even be allowed into the bubble. So basically then Avery Bradley's looking at 3 months without being able to see his son and potentially putting his son at risk either by bringing him into that bubble or by other family members or himself coming back with the coronavirus and passing it along to their son. So certainly can understand where Avery Bradley's coming from. Plus, that doesn't really even take into account the fact of what we were talking about last week, where Avery Bradley and Kyrie were kind of the leaders of the movement to maybe have the players not go and play at all and instead focus on the social justice issues that we all know are going on in society right now. So I think those two things clearly combined, that certainly gives Avery Bradley every reason to feel it necessary to miss out. So again, it's hard to argue with guys who are making decisions based on the things that we've seen with the guys that are declining to go. They all seemingly have legitimate reasons for not wanting to play, and more power to them.
Yeah. Did you see the thing about the Portland Trailblazers? And the time that they had Trevor Ariza versus the time they didn't, because you know he only joined the team after the trade. Did you see that stat? I'm gonna try to.
No,
find
I didn't.
It real quick.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't see it.
Oh man, this is poor.
It's saying how much better they were with him.
Oh yeah,
how much worse.
Oh, it's not even
better.
Close.
Better.
It's not even close. I'll see if I can pull it up and I'll read it in a minute here. But okay. the essential gist of it was that their shooting percentage, like when he was on the floor, a part of the team was like 42%. And before he was joined the team, they were shooting threes from 36%, like 36% behind the 3-point line. And during the time that he was on the team, it was the best. They were the best shooting 3-point team in the NBA. Which I can't. I mean, maybe it's
I don't think you can trace that all to the stellar play of Trevor Ariza necessarily. But I do think it's interesting that just from a playing competitive standpoint here, and forget about all the other issues surrounding this, but just from a pure basketball standpoint, Portland's a team that could potentially be pretty interesting with Zach Collins, I think, is on track to play. And I think Nurkic is probably going to play too. And granted, those guys haven't played NBA basketball this entire season. So I don't know how effective or in shape or whatever they're going to be, but you put those two guys back on Portland's roster and they become a lot more interesting.
Yeah, here you go, Mike. Here's the stat. Since Trevor Ariza's first game with the Trail Blazers on January 23rd, the team shot a league best 41% on 3-point field goal. Trevor Ariza shot 40% during that span. Prior to his arrival, they shot 36% on 3-point field goals, 14th in the NBA.
All right. I mean, a 4% difference, which statistically is probably fairly significant over that time period. But I don't know. I mean, again, I don't think you can trace that all to Trevor Ariza. We know the things that Trevor Ariza has done well over the course of his career. He can space the floor. He's been a good defender. He's clearly a little bit older than he's been in times where he's been a key player on teams that have made it a long way in the NBA playoffs. So I don't know that losing him is critical, but it certainly adds to your depth. And when you bring back Collins and Nurkic and you put that with McCollum and Damian Lillard, let's put it this way, if they made it into the eighth seed, I don't know that anybody would be excited to play the Blazers with Dame and those other guys back healthy. So, yep. You know, it's a loss for sure. It's a loss for sure that Ariza's not going to play.
And then the only other one that's kind of, it's not a permanent situation, but I sent it to you. Nikola Jokic is stuck in Serbia because he tested positive for the coronavirus, and now he's stuck over there.
He was hanging out with Novak Djokovic, that's why.
Yeah, probably.
And Djokovic's ill-fated tennis tour. Did you read anything about that?
Well, I mean, I did not. So go ahead. I mean, I knew that Djokovic had it, but I didn't know.
Yeah, I guess they were traveling around to cities and basically not doing anything. They were playing pickup basketball in between matches, and fans were all just sitting in the stands like normal. And then there was some video, I guess, that came out of them partying shirtless in some club and in some city in Serbia. So it was kind of funny. And then there was some stuff about, I forget exactly what Djokovic said, but something basically talking about how he's a little bit off the wall and saying that, he didn't know if it was real or whatever. And now, of course, he came down with it, and Jokic was seen. There was a photo op between him and Djokovic a week ago.
Oh, I didn't realize they were together. So they definitely shared the virus. Yeah. I wonder who was the patient zero in that case.
Yeah, I don't know who that patient zero was, but either way, I just think it points out what we've been talking about all along, which is, I think when they start testing these guys and they start planning for them to fly into Orlando, I think you're going to see quite a few positive tests. And I guess better to find them early, quarantine those guys, and then get them back into the fold as this thing goes on.
So that was the reference I was going to make. And this is an NFL reference, but Albert Breer, who writes for NFL Network today, tweeted, is it okay to start talking about how teams that have guys test positive for COVID-19 now in all of these sports might wind up being at an advantage later? Or are we not there yet? Because that's an interesting thought. You know, it's like the chicken pox thing back in the day when you used to put all your, I mean, I don't know what you did.
Right, but one kid gets it and put everybody in there. Let's get it all.
Little petri dish. Get it out of the way. You know, so you've got these NFL players and maybe these NBA players that have possibly contracted it. I mean, look at Utah. They're two best players, arguably. You're not going to have to worry about them at all because it doesn't seem that they can recontract it based on what we've read. I've not heard of anyone recontracting the disease. Have you?
I have not heard anything about that.
So you've got Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert on Utah, arguably their two best players, right? Would you say so?
Right.
I mean,
right.
They're safe. I mean, you think about it, they're safe. As long as no one gets injured, those two are not going to be out at all during this stretch. And then you got Jokic. He's not going to be out during the stretch. Maybe he won't be able to start right away because he might be a little bit behind the lag. But when they get to the playoffs, he'll be golden. I'm not saying throw all these guys all in and get them the virus or anything, but I'm just saying.
Do you think that there's a forward-thinking organization out there that has already gone through this possibility and has?
Well, I mean, the Lakers had four guys, right?
pre-infected their players. Is that why LeBron and Ben Simmons were playing pickup ball together?
I mean,
they were trying to catch it early so they could get it out of the way.
I don't know. I'm not saying that it's a good idea. I'm just saying that when you think about it, these guys that have it, they're done with it. So they're golden. They're set, right? I mean,
Look, I'm not arguing with you. This is a line of thinking that it hasn't crossed my mind before, but when you stop and think about it, it makes a lot of sense that why wouldn't I get it now? Maybe I missed the training camp part of it. Then I come back, I'm ready to play my 8 regular season games, and there's no more threat of me becoming sick or testing positive and having to sit out. Kind of an interesting way of looking at it.
I don't know. All right. So that's what we have on who's sitting out for now. There's no one else that you've seen that is sitting out, right?
Those are the only names I've heard to this point.
Okay. Well, and DeMarcus Cousins, you know, took his name out of the free agent pool. He said he wants to focus on his rehab. He doesn't want to come back too early and risk injury. So he's not coming back. He's not going to sign with a team. So that leads us to people that are signing with teams. Now, the first two are done deals, Mike. And then after that, I'm going to read you the rumors and linked people. And then we can talk about, I know you have a list of possible free agent contenders. So we can talk about them. But here's who has officially signed. Tyler Johnson signed with the Brooklyn Nets. David Nwaba signed with the Houston Rockets.
All right,
both of them got 2-year deals.
Really? Had those guys played at all in the league this year?
I don't have that in front of me.
I know Nwaba
started. I think he started in Chicago this year.
Yep, he did. But I don't know if he stayed stuck on the roster or not, or what the deal.
Well, I'm guessing not because he's a free agent.
True.
So, let's see. Tyler Johnson this year. First of all, I didn't realize that he was like not on the team. I thought for sure he was on a team at some point, but this year. He was on Phoenix for, he played 31 games for Phoenix.
Okay.
And he must have gotten cut at some point. I don't
know. All right.
Oh, he was waived by the Phoenix Suns on February 9th. So
all right.
There you go. Thank you,
there
Wikipedia.
All right, nice. Good work.
All right, so those are the two that have officially signed. Here are the rumors. The latest one, which I don't even know if you saw, it sounds like JR is going to the Lakers to replace Avery Bradley.
I did hear that. Yeah, I saw that.
That's pretty exciting. I could live with some JR. I could live with that. I can't believe no one else is.
JR is almost 2 years out of the league, though.
But he can shoot threes. That's all they need him to do. Listen, I'm just wanting the light up of JR, Deion Waiters, and LeBron at some point. Because don't forget, Neon Deion is on the Lakers. So we're going to, the bubble with Deion and JR might be lit, let me just say.
That'll be a fun crowd for LeBron trying to keep under control there with the Lakers. Good luck. Throw some JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard in there. You got a potent mix of individuals.
Well, is Dwight officially playing? I mean, I don't know the answer to that question.
He hasn't opted out yet.
He's not opted out. You're right. All right. And then the other rumors, Corey Brewer sounds like he's going to go to the Sacramento Kings. I don't know if you have a take on that.
No.
And then the other one,
I had it I don't have it written down, and I feel terrible. There was one other one that was rumored. Oh, no. It's, oh, Joaquin Noah to the Clippers, which I almost fell out of my chair when I read that. It sounds like he's going to be going to the Clippers. I bet you he wasn't even on your free agent list. Was he on your free agent?
He is on my – Joakim is on my free agent list. So, I, again, he's a guy who has had some success in the playoffs. He's clearly not a guy who needs to score. He could – now, I need to parse this comment with the idea, again, that if Joakim Noah is making the difference in your – championship playoff run, then somewhere something has gone awry. But I could see Joakim Noah playing five impactful minutes somewhere in the playoffs where they need somebody to guard someone big or just come in and just give him a couple of quality minutes here or there. I could see him being able to do that at some point.
Just don't ask him about Cleveland, please.
No, don't do that.
Coaches, we've teamed up with E3 Analytics so you can now purchase three of their exclusive new playbooks. If you're looking for ways to improve your team next season, these playbooks blend affordability with the quality content that serious coaches are looking for. Just visit hoopheadspod.com/store and you'll find playbooks from Coach Don Showalter of USA Basketball, Coach Mike Flynn from the Illawarra Hawks in Australia, who coached LaMelo Ball last season, and Coach Tyler Whitcomb from West Michigan Aviation Academy. Check out these great resources at hoopheadspod.com/store.
So I guess at this point, you can talk about who you're, who's okay on your list.
So these are just from, this is just from ESPN.com, best potential free agent additions. So just, you can either pass or give a comment for each of these guys. So guards, Trey Burke.
I'll pass. I saw him with the Cavs this year. I don't need to see any more.
That's Alec Burke.
Oh, I thought
Trey Burke.
Wasn't Trey Burke were part of the trade and we waived him?
Was he? I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh,
he was with the He was with the Sixers.
Oh well, if the Sixers didn't need him, I pass on him.
Okay, good. Isaiah Thomas.
If I'm a team, I might take a flyer on him. I might.
Started 37 games for the Wizards this year.
And how many points did he average?
Averaged 12 a game.
I take a flyer on him. Boston. Bring him back.
All right. He was waived by the Clippers after being included in the trade deadline deal. And then he's out on the streets. So we'll see.
I think someone will sign him. I think someone will sign him.
I wouldn't be surprised. Derek Walton Jr.
Who?
Would you recognize Derek Walton Jr. if he walked into your house right now?
I don't even know who – is he part of the family of the Waltons? I don't know.
He spent most of the season as the Clippers' emergency point guard before he lost his roster spot to Reggie Jackson.
I wouldn't have known who that guy was. Okay, who signed him? The Magic?
Yeah. He's a capable caretaker, it says here. It says he's a capable caretaker.
Who wrote
caretaker.
This article?
That's a good question. Let me see if I could...
Zach Lowe, if this is you, I'm going to be very disappointed.
No. Might be Bobby Marks. Let's see.
No.
Bobby Marks and Kevin Pelton.
Yeah. Right,
so anyway, okay.
I've lost respect for those two
okay,
guys right there.
All right. You're going to like this guy. He's a wing. Devon Akun Purcell.
Once again.
Arguably the best wing in the G League. Let's move on. Alan Crabb.
Pass.
Okay. Jamal Crawford.
He's. I thought he already said that he doesn't want to play. I would definitely take a flyer on him because he could just score points, but he hasn't played at all this year, right?
He has not. Okay, here's a question for you. In his final game in the NBA, how many points did Jamal Crawford score?
A lot. I think it's like 33 or something like that.
51.
I knew it was a lot.
51 in his last game for Phoenix. I could see Jamal Crawford being signed. He's supposedly a good dude, good locker room guy, heat check dude. Put him in there, see what happens.
So here's my question. I know JR has been out of the league for so long. Why are the Lakers not looking at this guy? Is he not one of LeBron's dudes? Is that what you...
Maybe. I don't know that he is... I think JR probably is a better three-point shooter, whereas Crawford is probably a better scorer. And
the Lakers
LeBron probably has a comfort level with JR that he may not have with Jamal Crawford since he never played with him. But
that makes sense. I understand that point.
You're maybe comparing apples and oranges there. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right. Gerald Green.
Pass.
CJ Miles.
Oh, I know what he can do. Pass.
This is
Las Fresco. I apologize.
This is like a who's who of former Cavaliers. Iman Shumpert.
Pass.
How old is Shump's got a? Is Shump even 30?
Oh yeah, he's 31.
Yeah, that could be about right.
I feel like JR's 34 and he's 31 because I saw an article.
He's relatively young. I think JR is older than 34. But anyway, whatever. I could see a team taking a chance on Shumpert just because he did play on a championship team and he's got some size and he can play some defense.
Mine Shumpert was born in. He's 29.
Okay, so yeah, I mean he's relatively young. He shouldn't be washed up. All right, I have two more guys. A couple of them we already talked about.
J.R. Smith is 34. He's a year older than me. So.
Okay, you were right. All right, so we had two guys on the bigs, the list of available bigs that we already talked about, DeMarcus Cousins and Joakim Noah. So then our other two, if you can tell me anything, any fact, any team, if you connect these guys to anything, you will be known as one of the world's greatest NBA fans. Okay. The first guy, Dante Hall.
Well, Dante Hall was a kick returner for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he had like a record at one point.
Okay, I will tell you this. I'll give you a hint. He was on a 10-day contract with a team when play was halted. He was in the NBA. What team? Can you link Dante Hall with a team in the NBA?
I'm going to say the Memphis Grizzlies, but that's just a total.
The Detroit Pistons. He led the G League in wins above replacement player. He's got a great warp, and he hit 70% of his two-pointers. All right, let's move on. Next one, Marcus Lee.
Marcus Lee, there's a Marcus Lee that writes for something. I wouldn't know. Is it Marcus or Marquise? Because I know Marquise.
It is not Marquise. It is Dang Marcus.
So. I have no clue. Probably was on the Warriors. He's probably one of those guys on the Warriors that was like.
I don't think he's been on any team. He was in the G League. But he did shoot better from two-point range than Dante Hall, who made 70%. Marcus Lee
72?
Banged home 73% of his two-point attempts in the G League. So
this is ridiculous that they include these two.
So maybe Marcus Lee will be signed, and who knows? We could be watching him in the finals when 8 Milwaukee Bucks go down with COVID-19 and in between games 2 and 3. All right, that's all I got. Those are the list of the best available free agents. So NBA GMs out there, that is the very definition of slim pickings.
Were any of the guys that we talked about, Tyler Johnson, David Nwaba, Corey Brewer, JR, were any of those guys on your list originally before I read them or no?
No, none of those guys were on this list. Only Joakim Noah and DeMarcus Cousins were on the
JR
list.
JR wasn't even... So
oh,
wait
sorry,
a second.
JR was on the list. Sorry.
I was going to say, JR wasn't included, but... yeah. But
sorry.
Dante
sorry.
Hall.
Sorry, JR, DeMarcus Cousins, and Joakim Noah were on the list as well.
I want to just say this. With
okay,
all
gun
respect,
to, wait, gun, wait, gun to your head. You had to sign one of those guys, not including the three, not including JR, DeMarcus, or Joakim Noah. You
Jamal
had to sign
Crawford.
One of the other guys.
That's who I signed.
Yeah, that's who I would sign too.
Mike, let me just put this out here. I'm putting this out into the universe. I would rather some person try to get Richard Jefferson to come out of retirement than sign any of those other people. Get Richard Jefferson out of retirement because he's going to have a better chance of impacting your team, at least your locker room culture, than any of those other guys that I did not choose. I'm being serious when I say that. I mean, Richard Jefferson probably hasn't played basketball in a year and a half. So
it's possible. It's possible.
I'm just saying I would rather have him for culture. Maybe what happens if they bring back – what's his name? Who was the guy that the Cavs brought in? The point guard that never played, got a ring. Oh God, what's his name?
Jose Calderon?
No. He got a ring. It was the guy. He was like the 15th guy. They brought him back. They had him for the championship, and then he was gone for a year. Hadn't played for a year, and then they brought him back for the final.
And then he got
a technical foul in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're killing me now. I could picture his face. Man, you'll be able to find that right away. I think he played at Oklahoma. God, what's his name?
Dante Jones.
Thank you, Dante Jones.
He lost all but – and here's how I looked him up. I said, what Cavs player lost all his playoff money? And the first result was Dante Jones lost all but $127 of his Cavalier salary to technical fouls.
There it is. That's it.
So –
that's it.
That was for the 2016-2017 season. So, oh gosh. All right. So, I mean, I don't know if you have any other takes on any of the free agent situations, but I mean, like you said, slim pickings. I completely agree with you. I don't think anyone there that's going to make a big impact. I think JR has the potential of making a big impact. I don't know that Tyler Johnson, although he might be a pretty solid pickup for the Nets, primarily because, you know, Kyrie and KD aren't playing, and he can at least contribute. I don't know to what degree, but he can at least maybe do something. And, I mean, David Nwaba, I don't know what he's going to do. And Corey Brewer, Sacramento's not going to make it anyway. So,
let's move on from the free agents.
Okay. So, I guess the big topic, and this was kind of being talked about, should the NBA even come back? Obviously, the rise of the coronavirus cases in Florida. There was a day they reached over 4,000. I haven't seen anything in the last 2 days, so I don't know that the numbers have gone up. I would assume that I would have seen that if they would have. But there's a lot of talks, and obviously, you know, the information, DeSantis, who's the governor in Florida, had said that 50% of the airport staff, and obviously he was ill-informed because it wasn't 50%, but that's what kind of everyone's running with. I think it ended up being like 7%, which still, when you think of 500 workers and you've got 7%, that's still 35 people that worked in the airport that have it. And then, I mean, you got to imagine there's more than that. So what's your idea or take on should they play and how you think it's going to go when it happens?
It's a great question. I think the answer to should they play is probably the most difficult one to answer, because we all, I think, have an understanding of why they're playing. It's the same reason why restaurants are back open. It's the same reason why businesses are back open, because this is people's livelihoods. And regardless of the amount of money that the players or owners make, and I know a lot of the owners have other businesses and things where they've made a lot of money and continue to make money, but the fact of the matter remains that it's still a business and there's still a lot of people that depend upon it for their income. And so even though it's on a much higher scale than a local restaurant reopening, it's still sort of the same thing. I think, should they play? Should restaurants be open at this point? If our biggest concern is preventing the spread of the virus, I think you could probably argue that no, they shouldn't be playing. No, restaurants shouldn't be open. And yet, I think we do have to balance the need for protecting ourselves and others from the coronavirus with, is it really less damaging to keep the economy completely closed? And I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. I mean, you've seen all different kinds of things in the news about the states that opened early and how those are the ones that are seeing the surges in cases, and people then complaining, well, we shouldn't have opened up so soon. And yet at the same time, you have places where people are still shut down or their businesses are shut down and they're upset or suing or whatever. And I don't think anybody knows the answer to the question should. My own personal opinion is I believe that they should try it again, because one, it's an opportunity to take advantage of the fact that they're going to be really the only game in town. I know baseball is going to restart back up, but still, I think there's much more clamor for the NBA than there is
for Major League. Well, I think baseball's sullied everything. I'll watch it. I will watch it for sure because it'll be a good distraction from everything. But I think baseball's really toyed with people's emotions, and I think the NBA has at least been very transparent, and it seems to be that the players and Silver and the owners are working together. Whereas
it does.
The baseball, they're just right. Not. So
it seems like, if I'm not mistaken, and just I don't want to talk baseball for very long, but what I read was it basically sounds like they had an agreement in place that said if they didn't have an agreement, that the commissioner could just do whatever he wants, and then they have to work something out in the next collective bargaining agreement. Is that
So here's the basic gist of it. So the original agreement said the players were going to get prorated salaries for however many games they ended up playing, blah, 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 blah. But that discussions would have to be had at some point about, as things progressed, if what's a tenable amount of games. So that's what they shook their hands on. They said they were going to play like 100 games or something. But there was also a provision in there that there might have to be adjusted, and then we have to have further discussions. And that's when, you know, the old S hit the fan was when the owners didn't want – I mean, the owners aren't making as much money. Now, once again, we're whining about billionaires not making millions of dollars. So, but at the same time, the Major League Baseball players are millionaires not making as much money as they would have made. But the general thing is there was a provision in place that if they couldn't come to an agreement, the commissioner could – set a season up, and which is what ended up happening. It's going to have 60 games and expanded playoffs. They're going to have a DH in both leagues, AL and NL, so the pitchers are less exposed to injury. Extra inning games are going to be – they're going to start with runners on second base, Mike, in extra innings because they want to try to avoid 15-inning games. So that's the general gist. So it sounds like teams are going to report to their home bases and starting July 1, and then season's going to start July 23rd, which I think is crazy because they've been arguing about this crap so much, and here we are with the NBA, and they've been taking their time. So I think baseball's plan is fraught with disaster way more than the NBA, in my opinion. I haven't even read like where are they playing games, but it sounds like they're playing games in home ballparks.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be like a normal schedule. Just there isn't going to be anybody in there. I just read where their players will be sitting in the stands 6 feet apart when they're not actually playing, so they won't be in the dugouts. Which I don't know how that whole thing works, and it's going to be weird to see the optics of what that looks like.
Hey Joe, give me some popcorn.
That's right. To me, the biggest part of it is that I don't understand. And this is kind of what I was getting at in terms of the NBA. The baseball was arguing back and forth between the two sides. And then it sounds like the commissioner just said, okay, this is what we're doing. The players kind of were forced to accept it. And then I thought there was some kind of clause then that reopened the collective bargaining.
Yeah, so that's going to be a disaster. That's going to be a disaster.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I think from the NBA standpoint, it does seem on the outside like they've done a pretty good job of working together. But we also have to remember that to this point, nothing has happened. And so I think we have to wait and see until teams start to report, players start to test positive, guys are actually in the bubble in Orlando. They start to see what it's like to live under those conditions, to play under those conditions. And that's where you're going to really see whether or not this whole thing is going to work. Because I don't know that anybody can predict how this thing is going to go, both from a disease standpoint, from a competitiveness standpoint, from a mental health standpoint, from a do we really want to be in this bubble at all standpoint. And then we have the whole social justice, Black Lives Matter thing that's hanging over this, where players may see things going on the outside that maybe they do want to get involved in. Maybe they do want to have a voice. Maybe they have a voice inside the bubble. Maybe they don't have as big a voice or aren't able to be as active as they want to be. I think there's a lot of things still, and I know I've been saying it for 6 weeks probably now, that I think they're going to start. I think it's the right thing to try to start, but I will be very surprised if they're able to make it through to the end of the season, the end of the playoffs, the championship series, and we end up with a champion where everybody comes to the same conclusion that this is a legitimate championship. Everything went super smoothly. All the teams competed throughout the playoffs at full strength. There's no need to put an asterisk next to this title. I just think that that's going to be really, really difficult. And I'll be surprised if we end up with what we would call a legitimate champion at the end. And to be quite honest, I'll be kind of surprised if they're even able to finish this thing based on what we know about how this thing transfers.
Man, you're so negative, Mike.
Look,
I should just come and come with my tissues ready to cry. Negative.
Look, I just don't know how you get around all these things. Like when you're testing, look, we just had our president the other day say that he wanted to slow down the testing because he didn't want to see so many positive tests. So if our own president, be that as it may, if our own president is telling us that he slowed down the test because he didn't like seeing so many positives, if you're testing these guys and all these this team personnel every single day or every other day or whatever the plan is now, you're going to have lots of people that are testing positive. And it's one thing to be Nikola Jokic now and test positive before anything starts and you have to quarantine for 14 days and you come back and get your two negative tests. But if this happens to a big name player or multiple players on a team in the middle of the playoffs, that's going to throw a whole different wrench into this thing that I'm sure they're anticipating it happening. I'm sure they're going to think about it and talk about it and have some kind of plan in place. But there's no way that you can argue to the public that if, let's just say that the Sixers are playing and Embiid and Simmons both go down with the virus and then Philly loses, there's no way that whoever wins that series, you're going to look at it and go, oh, that was a legitimate series win right there. Or again, you get to the finals and whoever the teams are in the finals, they have multiple players get it or their star player gets it and they have to sit out. And I know I talked about it last week, but let's say you get to the finals and LeBron is playing against Giannis and one of those two guys comes down with the virus and has to sit out for 10 days and then the other team wins. I mean, that almost renders that title meaningless, right?
I suppose.
I mean,
according to the baseball commissioner, it's just a piece of metal. Did you see that one?
I didn't see that quote, but I'm sure that didn't go over well.
Well, it was when they were talking about taking away the championship from Houston Astros. He said, oh, it's just a piece of metal. This is the commissioner of baseball. Come on, man. This guy is out of touch.
He's a little tone deaf with that particular comment. But yeah, I don't know. I'd like to be optimistic, but there's just too many things. There's too many things in my mind that can go wrong. And I hope they can pull it off. I would love to see it look and feel normal. And I'd love to be able to crown a legitimate champion at the end. But whew, I just don't know.
Got it. I think I'm kind of on the same lines with you. I think they should start. I'm a little more positive. I think there will be cases that pop up here and there. And obviously, you know, I think you look at golf and NASCAR have been the two that have kind of been the first two sports, and golf has had one player test positive. I don't know if you saw that, but he played around the golf, and then the next day he showed up,
Not the same. Like golf and NASCAR are in no way, shape, or form similar to basketball.
I know.
You're not rubbing against other people. You're not sweating on them. You're not breathing on them.
That's true.
It's just totally different. And I think once it's there, once it gets introduced, once somebody gets it, I think it's going to be really tough to keep multiple people on a team getting it. And we just don't have enough information about how quickly it spreads before the symptoms present themselves. How, to be honest, how accurate is the testing? Are you getting false positives? Are you missing out on people that do have it? I don't know. I haven't necessarily read all those things. I'm sure that there's statistics out there about the accuracy and what they're doing in terms of that. But we know that any test is not 100% foolproof. I don't know. I just think I can't see them making it through with all the potential things that could go wrong. I just don't see it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Yep. I guess there were two more players for the PGA that withdrew today because of testing positive. I don't know. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just excited for it to at least come back. Even if they fail and it comes back and they play a few games and they're like, this isn't tenable. At least we got a few more games. I don't know. Maybe that's me saying things selfishly, but,
we all want the league to come back. Everybody wants to be able to watch games. Everybody wants to be able to see a conclusion to this season. And I think what's going to be really interesting, and here's some more pessimism for you, but if this season doesn't conclude and they can't figure this out, and for whatever reason, let's say that either they have to end it prematurely or they make it all the way through, but let's go with the pessimistic side. Let's say for some reason they have to end it early. What does that say about next season and their ability to pull off next season when I don't know if anything's different? If there's a vaccine between now and when the next season's supposed to start, that maybe that solves the issue. But if nothing fundamentally changes between now and next season, and especially if you think about the idea that maybe there's a second wave because it's cold and people are inside more in the wintertime and whatever, and that makes it worse and you get a second wave, next season could be very, very dicey if they don't make it through this. So that's, I think, another reason why it makes sense to try to restart, is to try to see if you can figure this thing out, because they might be starting next season underneath the same conditions.
Yep. And like I said, we'll just have to see how it plays out. We're kind of in a wait and see approach. And obviously, I think a lot of things starting, you know, next week with them reporting back and starting their training camps and things like that in their home cities. You know, players are already back getting tested every 2 days, I believe, at this point. So, because it starts tomorrow, but they're going to be tested. So we're sure to hear more about these people that are come back testing positive for sure, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think baseball, too, is going to be – well, every league is going to be watching baseball. NFL is going to be watching baseball closely, and the NBA is going to be watching baseball closely, because if they're playing without fans but still traveling to other cities, it's going to be interesting to see how that compares to what happens with the NBA inside the bubble, because clearly both the NBA and the NFL – would, I'm sure, prefer not to have their players have to be in the bubble. I'm sure they'd much prefer to be able to have them playing in their home arenas, even if it was without fans or with limited numbers of fans. I think they would prefer that. And so they're going to be keeping a close eye on what goes on with baseball. And who knows? I have no clue whether or not that'll work at all.
We think about this, Mike. We're 1 month away from baseball happening, and we've heard nothing about. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what their schedule even looks like. I don't know. At least the NBA, like, the thing about the NBA is at least they're in a very controlled, and well, I shouldn't say very, somewhat controlled environment. You know, they're going to have, and players aren't going to have to constantly, I think the bigger issue is the flying. Constantly, at baseball, is going to be flying people around to different places. I think that's crazy. Having players in planes
the amount of flying that you're going to have to do in order to go to these different cities. And then the NBA has an advantage in a lot of ways because it's just a smaller group of people. baseball, you got a 25-man roster. I don't know if they expanded any of that because
it's, they're the starting a 30-man roster, and then it's, okay. they're going to window down to 26. So it's going to be like 30-man roster for the first 2 weeks, and then after 2 weeks, it's going to drop to 28, I think. And
so then after again, it's still, the next... still a much bigger, much bigger roster. And then you think about the NFL, and the NFL's advantage is they're playing a lot less games. So that's one advantage for the NFL, but you have so many more people, so many more coaches. Just, I don't know.
Listen, if you hear these NFL owners, they're saying there's going to be fans in the stands. I think that's crazy, but
they're crazy. But all you got to do is look around and the number of people that are out there just doing normal things.
Well,
there's a lot of people out there that are just going about their normal business.
Well, Justin Thomas, once again, I'm bringing in another sport, PGA Tour. He said after his round on Saturday, he says, "No offense, South Carolina, but you're a bunch of yahoos for all these people that are out at the beaches right now." Like he said, these beaches are packed. He's like, you know, they're flying chartered flights from each event. I don't know how much you know about the PGA setup, but they're flying charter flights from each event. And then if you're not a part of this event, but you're part of another event, there's like hub places that you can get charter flights from to get, you know, primarily based on regional stuff. So the PGA Tour is trying it, but he's like, we're here trying to maintain it. But at the same time, we're in the bubble. But when we come to places like South Carolina, they were in Hilton Head. He's like, there were so many people at the beach and stuff all around us all day, like, because they still have to go in and out of their hotels and things. He's like, there's just no way to handle it. So I don't know. I think it's going to be kind of, like I said, we're kind of going in circles here, but it's going to be interesting to watch how everything happens and what's going on. But it really is going to come down to, I think the NBA of the three major sports, I think the NBA is the most set up for success because they're going to be in one spot. They're not going to be traveling. Theoretically, they're not going to be doing much outside the bubble. Whereas you've got the baseball teams going to be flying all over the place. The NFL, who
and there's
knows
less, and there's less, and there's
less people.
People.
So
less,
I think we can agree though that of the three major sports, the NBA is the most set up for success, right?
I would say in every way they're the most set up for the success, except for the one thing I would say is that compared to the other two sports, if the stars go down in the NBA, that's a killer. If the stars go down in baseball or the stars go down in football, you just plug somebody else in and keep going. I don't think it matters.
Got it. Yep.
If Mike Trout doesn't play for the Angels,
they don't win anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right. I mean, it has an impact, I guess, but does it really matter all that much? Probably not. In the NFL, who matters at this point that if somebody goes down? I guess if Patrick Mahomes goes down, sure, that impacts Kansas City's chances, but Kansas City's going to throw a backup quarterback in there and probably have a decent amount of success. So it's not like if the Lakers lose LeBron or the Bucks lose Giannis or the Clippers lose Kawhi, any of those things happen, and that becomes devastating both to that team's chances but also to the watchability of the product and the legitimacy of the product, whereas I don't think football and baseball face that same issue. So I would agree with you in terms of the amount of time that the NBA has put into putting together a plan and all those kinds of things. I agree. I think the NBA is the most set up for success, but I also think that their plan is also the most tenuous from a standpoint of it really, really depends on who, when, and how many players end up getting it, whether or not they're able to make it through and crown a legitimate champion. So yep. We'll see. Anything else?
No, we ended up talking for 53 minutes. Once again, all right, we cursed ourselves, Mike, but I think this is good. It was a good episode.
All right, so quickly, we released episode 2 of Thrive with Trevor Huffman this week. Hopefully, before the end of the week, we're going to have Beyond the Ball out to you as the second podcast from our Hoopheads Pod network, and we got a couple more shows coming shortly after that. We're also looking for NBA podcasters who are interested in hosting their own NBA team podcast. So if you are a fan of a particular team, if you've ever had a thought in your mind about wanting to start your own podcast covering one of the NBA teams, please reach out to me, mike@hoopheadspod.com, and let us know. We'll have a conversation and see if we can't help you to get a podcast started. We're looking to build a podcast for each one of the 30 NBA teams. So reach out to us if you're interested, and we will catch you for Friday's interview episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.